You in the name of our Lord this morning. I'm thankful to be here. I can see our brother Andy has got another good analogy coming up, and I look forward to hearing him. And so I hope and pray that you give our brother and pastor attention and think about the things that he says, and ask the Lord to help you to. I know the things that he presents are those challenges that we have in our physical life and each one of us. And I know that those things, these analogies are good to consider, to be able to be applied to our own life, to know how we can be more perfected in Christ. So may God be blessed as he presents those things to us this morning. And I give to you our brother and pastor, Andy Brown.
Thank you, Gordon. Can you see that, Joe?
I almost forgot my job.
I'm supposed to shut the light off. At least that way we know who's in the dark. I am thankful to be here this day. Sometimes sermons to me are really obvious on what I should be speaking on, and sometimes not so much. This tree here, as you can see, has been uprooted. I've been watching it for probably 6 or 7 months now, so I know it's been down on the ground for at least that long. I was wandering around it yesterday, looking at the roots on it, looking at the tree itself, at the needles that are still on it, and right now up in the woods, there's a lot of trees dying from a beetle. They call them beetle kills. The beetle gets in them, and the tree's too dry to protect itself, and eventually the beetle wins out and kills the tree. But as my brother-in-law and I kind of crawled around on this tree and looked at it, we decided it was not a beetle kill. Its roots were just not sufficient for the mass of it. You can see almost all the roots there. There just wasn't. For a tree that size, there was just no big roots. It's in a very rocky place on a hillside. And over the years, I've tried to guess the age of trees. I'm usually pretty wrong. Yeah. Because it's not, there's a science to it, and apparently I haven't figured it out. But you can count the rings in the trees, but the rings in the trees are really more indicative of wet and dry spells, which could be years. And of course, here in Arizona, for many years, we've had more dry spells than wet, which makes the rings very small and very hard to count. But anyway, I'm going to cut this tree in a few weeks, and I'll attempt to discover how old it is. I'm guessing 100-plus years old. And it's amazing to me, a tree that stood that long could not have sufficient roots. And this, believe it or not, is not the total point of my sermon. I just couldn't. When I was standing there yesterday and I'm looking at this root ball, thinking, man, there's a sermon in this. It was just so obvious to me. And my brother-in-law said, I think the roots just didn't have enough roots. And I was like, yeah, that's the parable of the sower right there. You know, that some of the good word fell on rocky ground. And it wasn't cultivated enough to sustain it. And as I wander around the woods looking at a lot of dead trees right now, most of them still standing, I think, what could have someone done to prevent this tree from dying? Because a lot of them are on good ground, but the beetle is taking them out. And so, anyway, just some of my thoughts this morning on this big, beautiful tree. I'm guessing we walked up and down it 2 or 3 times. It's pushing 100 foot tall. I gave it a big hug right down here at the base, and I didn't even come close to reaching around it. And it's a pretty good sized tree. But nevertheless, it didn't have sufficient root to withstand the wind or whatever took it over in the last year. I'd like to jump into my sermon this morning. Starting with Alma in the 10th chapter, the 28th verse, it says, "But that ye would humble yourself before the Lord and call on his holy name, and watch and pray continually that you may not be tempted above that which you are able to bear. You can bear. And thus be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord. Continuation of that same verse. Having a hope that ye shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your heart, that ye may be lifted up at the last day, and enter into your rest, and may the Lord grant unto you repentance, that ye may not bring down the wrath of God upon you, that ye may not be bound down by the chains of hell, that ye may not suffer the second death. I'd like to talk a little bit about these three verses of Scripture here, because it's a basis for what I want to talk about this morning. It's a basis of really setting the goal for life eternal. That we need to do something. We need to bring about some action in our life, and that is humble ourselves before the Lord and call on His holy name. Watch and pray continually. You know, there's three or four things right there that the Lord's asking us to do. And throughout the next several verses of Scripture, and I don't have a whole lot. I don't know how long it'll take me. I'll probably talk too much. But three. My son told me one time, you could preach for an hour on four verses. And I was like, well, I don't think I'm quite that bad, but maybe. These things are needful to be put into action in our life. We very familiar Scripture to all of us, I'm sure of it. But unless we put them into action, they're just words on a page. And the next several verses I read will be similar. They're all things that call us to some action. And my sermon this morning is very simple. It's very simple. You know, just like that big tree, if we're not careful, we find ourselves ineffective. We find ourselves tipped over by some hardship in the world, by some big breeze that comes along in our life. We're rendered useless, you know. And so we need to be focused upon the tools that the Lord has given us to be successful. Humility, prayer, calling upon the Lord that we might escape these things. And if we do those things, we'd be led by His Spirit. I guess this is a little bit of the focus I've had in this recent year is what does it really mean to be led by His Spirit? At that point, we're shifting gears from, okay, it says this on the page and this is what I'm doing, to really being able to hear the voice of the Master. Are we listening? Are you listening in your life? Is there times that the Lord can nudge you to do something? I'm going to tell you a little story, and it's funny, but it's not funny. And it's just some way in my own life that I've felt success and failure. And it's going to seem silly to you. But when I'm driving down the road, and I see someone pulled off the side of the road, they're obviously having some kind of difficulty. You know, I travel back and forth from here to the mountains a lot, and there sits somebody in the heat or whatever. I always think for that split second, is this a bad guy? You know, or is this somebody that needs help? Is this someone the Lord would have me to stop and help? And over the years, not years ago, but over the years, I've stopped and helped a ton of people alongside the road. My wife used to sleep when we go back and forth. She'd wake up, it's like, he's gone. Where's he at? Oh, he's that car back there changing the tire, you know. And it's funny because, not funny, but funny because it got to the point that somehow I just knew, yeah, this is a person that I need to stop and help. You know, not by really looking at the car. Some cars are old and cruddy. Some cars are new. Some guy, maybe a guy, maybe a lady, you know, but somehow you just knew. And I think it comes from endeavoring. I wish the rest of my life was that simple. But endeavoring to listen to the Lord's Spirit, that you might somehow, and like I said, I've had successes and I've had failures. There's been times that I zoomed on by thinking, oh, they're probably all right. And for some time, it nags on me. You should have stopped and helped that person. You know, but I put it out of my mind because it's that easy to not do it, you know. There's been times I zoomed on by and it nagged on me and I turned around and went back, you know, and it was the right thing to do. And so, you know, but it takes effort, it takes energy on our part to endeavor to listen for that gentle speaking of the Spirit. What to do, what to say to a co-worker, to a brother or sister, to make something right. Let's jump over to Peter, 1 Peter in the second chapter, verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guilt and hypocrisy and envyings and evil speaking, as a newborn desireth, my wife's going to have to, I cannot say this word for some reason. Help me out there, buddy. Sincere. It just doesn't look like sincere to me. Desiring the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord's is gracious, to him coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. I'm going to continue on those verses. Yea, also as a living stone, as a builder, built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Therefore also is it contained in the spiritual... No, I messed that up, didn't I? Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he, the beloved, on whom we are not confounded. I got on this verse of scripture, and Peter writes, I like the way Paul writes, it's easier for me to read, but Peter really brought out the thoughts that I like this morning. Let's jump back to the other one so I can see it. First of all, this verse of scripture, as I said, ask us to do something, to lay aside something, to lay aside hypocrisy, to lay aside envying or evil speaking. And I want us to make the connection. So many people today, and I'm sure I'm like that to some degree, in our Christian walk, we're quick to acknowledge our belief in God. We may be quick to acknowledge our affiliation with a particular church. We're quick to tell our friends, yeah, I believe in Christ. But is there a connection to how I'm living to that statement? Is there a connection to what's coming out of my mouth to that statement? Am I putting away evil speaking? Am I putting away hypocrisy or malice? You know, do I carry evil thoughts for a brother or a sister or for a co-worker? These are the things that the Lord and the gospel has called us to action. Wants us to call us to action. And then in the next verse it says, you know, to whom cometh as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, not considered of men. Christ was not considered of men of any great value, but nevertheless would be the living stone as built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. And this next part is what I really want us to think about. If you don't remember anything else from our time together this morning, this next part is what I want you to think about. To offer up spiritual sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice things in our life to improve our spiritual well-being? Acceptable to God. Not what I choose. What is the Lord calling me to remove out of my life? What is the Lord calling me to change? The way I think, the way I speak, the things I do on a daily basis. Am I willing? and holy priesthood. And I don't think here he's talking about just the ministry. He's talking about the body of Christ, a holy priesthood, a holy group of people who's willing to sacrifice the pleasures of this world, willing to sacrifice my own prejudice or my own hatred of a particular thing or group. Are we willing to sacrifice my thoughts, my desires, my will, that is acceptable unto God? That we might be yet another building block in that spiritual house. That's what the Lord's called us to do, is to become a building block in His kingdom upon the earth. We can't do that if we bring all our own garbage with us. We can't do that if we're not willing to change. The seventh verse says, upon, still talking in the same vein of what we've been talking about, and upon you therefore which believe, He is precious. Is Christ precious to us? I hope so. Is the Word of God precious to us? I hope so. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, he's talking about Christ, they just set him aside, the same is made head of the corner. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of our belief. He is the cornerstone of everything that should motivate us in life. Not money, not wealth, not power or privilege. Jesus Christ should be the thing that motivates us in life. The decisions we make, where we live, what we do, those the basis for all of our decision making should be based on Jesus Christ. He being the cornerstone of our existence. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, thereunto also they were appointed. In other words, you know, the people that don't believe it, he's just a stumbling stone. This Christian belief thing, that just gets in the way. But to you and I, He's precious. It's a precious promise that the Lord gives us. The ninth verse there says, but ye, talking again about us, okay, just kind of drawing this parallel between the unbeliever, but now you, the believer, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth praise to Him who hath called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And I got a couple questions to ask you here, and I hope you answer them in your own heart, in your own mind. Do you feel like you've been called into a marvelous light? Is this gospel of Christ a marvelous light to you? Or is it a burden that we must bear? Is it a heavy load we carry? Or is it a marvelous light? I hope it's a marvelous light. I hope it's the thing that frees you in your life. The thing that empowers you to overcome every obstacle. Every obstacle. God's people should always believe that they will be victorious. Doesn't mean that if you go down here and get in a legal suit, you may win or lose, okay? Depending on what you did or didn't do. Or you may lose unjustly in our day and age, but it doesn't matter. You can be victorious in all that we do. We can be victorious and will be victorious. You know, sometimes we talk about the end times and boy, things are getting kind of cloudy and dark and there's gloom and doom and the scriptures talk about that, you know, that it would be a difficult time, that perhaps all flesh would be destroyed if it wasn't for the Lord's elect's sake, it says, you know. But even when we think about those things, one paramount thought to say, keep in mind, God's people will always be victorious. If we're standing where we belong, if we're humbling ourselves before the Lord, if we're seeking His will and not our own, we'll be victorious. And I hope today as we go through a few of these verses, we can think upon the fact and ask ourselves the question, You know, do we consider him precious? Do I feel like I'm standing in a marvelous light? Or am I in the shadows somewhere? Am I in the darkness? In Moroni, in the 10th chapter, the 27th verse, it says, "And again I would exhort you that you would come unto Christ and lay hold of every good gift and touch not the evil gift or the unclean thing." Again, it's calling us to action. It's calling us to action. You know, as a preacher, sometimes we stand up here and we look out there and we're wondering if anybody's paying any attention. Or if you look back on my row, sometimes you might catch me dozing off a little bit. You know, it's hard. It's hard to really read the audience to see if they're getting the message you're trying to give. And again, you know, if you can just remember a couple things today, remember that the gospel of Christ is a call to action. It's a call not to be a partaker of the unclean thing. It's a call to walk away from the evil of our day or of any day. You know, in our generation, we're the keepers of the gospel. The Lord has placed it upon our hearts and upon our hands, in our hands, the gospel of Christ, to do whatever it is that we do with it in our time. And I find it interesting in the Book of Mormon, there's several books that are one page long. They're one page long. What do you think those guys did in their lifetime? Logan? They didn't have much to write, did they? We got a guy like Almo who wrote half the book. You know, he had a lot of interaction with God. Some of those books in the Book of Mormon that are one page long, what it said, I wasn't a very righteous man in my day. There was much war in my day. That's really all it says, you know. And so, where do we stand? What's recorded in history? And not in man's history, but in God's history. What's recorded? What's written down that you did for the Lord in your generation? What did you do with this precious light, this precious promise of the gospel in your generation? In my time, I'm guessing that at least half of my time's gone, maybe more. Well, more than half my time, unless I'm going to live over 100. So, you know, I better hurry up and do something, or there's going to be nothing. I'm going to have a one-page story in the history book of the world that I kept in my generation, that I wasn't a very good keeper. Of what the Lord placed upon us to do. I know when you're young, you think you got lots of time left. And you do have some. But it goes way too quick. And it's way too easy to get involved in the things of life. And the next thing you know, you've got gray hair and you're up here saying, "Man, I better hurry up and get something done. I haven't done much." The gospel is a call to action. The 28th verse says, "And awake and arise from the dust, O daughter of Zion, and put on thy beautiful garments, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes, and enlarge thy borders forever, for thou mightest no more be confounded, that the covenants of the eternal Father, which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled." That's in a nutshell what we're called to do. To take the gospel in our generation, in our time, whomever, who you go to school with, who you work with. You know, are we bashful about that? Are we ashamed? Do we truly consider it a precious promise, a precious gift, a marvelous light? Or is it just mine? We only have so many people we can affect in life. You know, I know a lot of people, or at least associated with a lot of people, because of my work and because of church, and just a lot. But the average person really doesn't have that big a sphere of people. And but if you can affect them, and they can affect someone else. I heard a speech given, I can't remember the guy's name, or he's a Naval admiral, He gave a commencement speech to the University of Texas somewhere. And in that, he explained that, you know, just in a few generations, that little group of people was in the room, I forget how many, 1,500 or 1,000, something like that, and I think it was seven generations or six generations, could literally affect everybody on the earth just by the people. If they touch five people or 10 people, I remember what he said, and they touched 10 people and they touched 10 people, in a few generations, they would have touched everybody on the earth. And he gave the numbers and all the math part of it. And I find that interesting, though, that you and I have the same opportunity. Because if you affect a person, maybe someone that Jared or I worked with in the construction trade, and he affects his family, and his family all affect a person or two, well, pretty soon that sphere gets pretty large. It's pretty large. Just by what your little effort is. So as I said, today, if you can't leave here with nothing else, leave here with the fact that you're called to action. You're called to move away from evil and towards good. You're called to take possession of the gospel in your day. I'm going to continue in Moroni, verse 29. And it says, "And come unto Christ and be perfect." "Come unto Christ and be purified in Him, and deny yourselves all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourself all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is He is grace sufficient for you, that by His grace you may be made perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God." Again, We're called to action, that we deny ourselves all ungodliness, and that if we do that, and by the love of God, you might serve Him with all your might, mind, and strength. You know, His grace is going to be activated in your part. I have a little thing here I want to show you, and this is in the mind of a construction worker. Bear that in mind. So some of you guys will relate to it right away. Some of you might not. This is a glass tube. Can you see that? It's a glass tube, and it's got some rocks in it, little tiny pebbles. And in it is some epoxy. And in the epoxy, at one end down there, is a catalyst. Everybody know what a catalyst is? It's something that activates something else. Okay, and I used to have some of these that the catalyst was in a little glass tube inside the tube. And for those of us, we don't use these anymore much. I'm sure they do somewhere. But this one's been in my shop, and I was trying to think about it on the way over here. At least 27, 28 years. I'm saving it. What for, I don't know. But it's one of those things that gets thrown back with everything else. And obviously, not even sure it's good at this point. But my point is, this is in my shop, unactivated. If it rolls off of here and hits the floor, it might activate, though, and that's going to be a mess. It's virtually just some pebbles in a glass tube. But what we use it for, we take a rotor hammer and we drill a hole in concrete. And we used to take a bolt and we'd cut the end of it on an angle. We'd slip this glass tube inside that hole. We'd take that bolt, put it in a drill, and ram it in there and break that glass, hit the drill, and mix that catalyst with the epoxy, and we have a bolt epoxied into a concrete wall. We call them glass anchors. This glass tube has never fulfilled its purpose. Pushing 30 years in my shop, probably 30 years since it's been purchased. I guess I could take it back to Hilti and see if they take it back. It virtually has done nothing in its 30 years of life. Laid around my shop. It's not the only thing that's laid around in there for that long, by the way. Unfulfilling its purpose. And it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool looking. Glass tube, little pebbles in there, some epoxy. Oop. Yep, there we go. Piece of it just fell off. I better put it back in the bag before I get something sticky all over me here the next thing you know. It's kind of cool looking. It's a neat idea that you can contain all that in one little glass tube, and the glass tube would fit inside a hole you drilled, and you could mix it with the bolt you're trying to anchor into the wall. But I'm fearful that if we're not careful, a bunch of us are just like this glass tube. We have I don't remember what the rating on this was. The place we were using it, I'm guessing it's probably worth at least 4,000, maybe 5,000 pounds of tensile strength or pull strength. So it's good. It's got great value. But it's of no value if it's not activated. There's no value if it's never put into action. Just hanging out in a piece of styrofoam, in a little box, in an old milk crate, in my shop, on the shelf. At least I knew where it was at. That was a big plus. But we need to ask ourselves, where are we at? Are we just a glass anchor that looks pretty on the shelf? Are we just filling our spot in the pew? Have we activated the thing in our life that can transform our life? Have we activated the thing in our life that can give us strength like that? You know, this glass tube is very fragile. I mean, it break really easy. It's designed to break really easy. But once it's broken, it's of great strength. Thousands and thousands of pounds. I've hung big pieces of steel off of these. So do we activate? Have we activated the thing in our life that's going to give us clear vision? That's going to give us strength. That's going to give us direction. Come unto Christ and be purified in Him. And deny yourself all ungodliness. This is how we activate. We have to take action on our part. We have to come unto Christ. We have to deny ourselves. And we have to trust in Him. We deny ourselves the things that we want. And love God with all your might, mind, and strength. And when you do that, you're like me taking a drill and sticking in that thing and busting it and mixing it all up. It becomes activated. We can activate the grace of God on our behalf. We can activate His wisdom and His direction, the leading of His Spirit. Takes part, takes action. Takes action on our part. 3 Nephi chapter 12, verse 32, it says, therefore, I'm going to mess this up, aren't I? Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest. Are you sure I don't have one below before this? I wonder if I got that one out of there. Nope. It says, therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments. No, this is right. Who have washed their garments in my blood. And this is Christ speaking in the third book of Nephi. In my blood, because of their faith and their repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Again, it takes action on our part. We can't enter in unless we've cleaned our garments. Now this is the commandment. Repent, all ye ends of the earth. That's for everybody. That stood from the time Christ spoke it, and it'll stand until the end. Repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Again, it's calling us to action. Calls us to action. It takes action to be baptized. It takes action to repent and to stand before the Lord spotless. And our desire is that we stand before Him spotless at the last day. Let's continue on there. It says, verily, verily, I say it unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know the things that ye must do in my church. For the works which thou hast seen me do, that shall ye also do. Again, it's Christ speaking. The things we've seen Him do Those are the things that we must do. It's not a big secret. They're not hidden away only for a few people to read. Each one of us can pick up our scriptures and read. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if you do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. Action. We have to activate God in our life. Otherwise, it's just words on a page. It's just a nice book on the shelf. It's just something to say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. Are you? Do you look at it as a precious promise? Do you walk in that marvelous light? Do you have a hope and a desire that you'll stand before Him spotless at the last day? The book of Ether, chapter 1, verse 115, says, wherefore repent, all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and believe in my gospel, and be baptized in my name. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And the sign shall follow them that believe in my name. Calls us to action. We have to do something about it. If we claim that we believe, then we have to do something. And he draws it out. There's no gray area. It's pretty plain that if you believe and are baptized, you're can be saved. And those that believe are recipient, and those that are moved into action are a recipient of God's blessing. It's that gentle spirit that says, don't go there. It's that leading that says, hey, stop and help that guy. It's that bit of something telling you, hey, ask that guy if he's all right. Does he need a hand? Is something bugging you today? What can I do for you? That's the benefits of putting God, of activating Him, of breaking through the shell, getting past ourselves, and putting it into action. And blessed is he that is found faithful unto my name at the last day. That's the end goal. We know that. Once we enter in there, once we activate God in our life, once we've entered into the waters of baptism, and we begin to break through all the different things that we need to pitch out of our life, we got to maintain it till the last day. For he that shall be lifted up to dwell in the kingdom prepared for him from the foundation of the world. And behold, it is I who have spoken it. Amen. It's almost overwhelming to me to think that from the beginning, thousands of years, that the Lord prepared the place for His believers, for the followers, the true followers of Christ, the ones that get off the couch and put it into action in their life. Spiritually, get off the couch. Emotionally, and sometimes physically, but to put it in our life. You know, our human nature is to just take the easy road. The path of least resistance. That's our nature, the path of least resistance. But the Lord has asked us to fight against that. I listened to something not too long ago, and it was about self-discipline. And he said, you know, if you can just discipline yourself not to hit the snooze in the morning, that's your first accomplishment of the day. Self-discipline. You know, it's the difference between the guy that gets up and exercises before he goes to work and the guy who just sneaks out of bed at the last minute and goes to work. You know, it's difficult. I'm there. I'm like, I'm hitting that snooze, you know. It's difficult, but it's self-discipline. The Lord calls us to discipline ourselves spiritually in His behalf, that we might be a partaker of the kingdom. James chapter 1, verse 22, be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I've read this scripture 100 times from this spot. Deceiving your own self. When we are hearers of the word, and we walk out of here and forget all about it, the only person we're deceiving is ourselves. We're just deceiving ourselves. We're thinking that we're something that we're not. Deceiving your own selves. It says, but for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face in a glass, in a mirror. And behold, he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh to the perfect law of liberty. Christ's law is a perfect law. Men's law is not. There's always weakness, failure, things we try to do, we're going to struggle at because we're human. But if we look to the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed indeed. Again, we'll be blessed. Once we activate God in our life, once we move towards doing what he's asked us to do, leaving behind, not touching the unclean thing, getting away from our selfish desire, our personal fulfillment, those things that are seem like real important to us at the time, perhaps. We get that stuff out of our life and we become a doer of the Word of God. We will be blessed. Thank you.